39. He kept her on the phone as he headed for the bridge to Stiles Island, after asking her if she needed him to call for an ambulance. She said she did not. He asked if she was sure. Kate said she was. "Just hurry," she said. "What happened?" Jesse said. "I walked in on them," she said. Her voice trailed off for a moment. "They must have been looking for something. One of them hit me." She was waiting for him on the porch when he came around the corner. She was holding something to the side of her face, probably ice. As Jesse ran up the walk, he saw her start to slide down the doorframe before he got to her in time. He started to walk her into the house when she dropped the ice pack suddenly and turned and put her arms around him.
"I'm so sorry," Kate said.
"Don't be," he said. Then he pulled back and got an arm around her shoulder and got her into the living room and sat her down on the sofa. There were books from the built-in case scattered all over the floor, and cushions and a lamp turned over, and one of the end tables near the sofa. The room had been tossed. "Is the whole house like this?" Jesse said.
"The downstairs," she said. "I haven't been upstairs."
"Doorbell cam didn't help," he said.
"They must have come through the kitchen door," she said.
Jesse walked back there. He could see where somebody had broken one of the windows, probably unlocked the door that way. There was glass all over the floor. He went back to the front door now, picked up the ice pack where she dropped it, came back and handed it to her. He could see the bruising starting to show from her right cheekbone all the way down her jawline.
"Not sure ice is going to help at this point," she said.
"As an old ball player," Jesse said, "let me tell you that it never hurts."
"Not much of a face right now," she said.
"Still a nice one," he said. He asked her if she wanted a drink. She said, "Not right now." He asked if they'd hit her more than once, and she said no. She'd just hit her head again on the floor when she went down. "You should be seen by a doctor," Jesse said. "That new urgent care over here is just a few blocks away."
"I'm fine," she said, then added, "At least now I am."
"Not much evidence of that," he said.
"If my head still hurts in the morning, I'll go see somebody," she said. "For now, as they say, it only hurts when I laugh. So I feel as if I'm in no immediate danger."
She took him through it. She'd felt a need for the ribs at the go, so she decided to do takeout because she didn't want to go over there and sit alone. "Too much alone time these days," she said. Then she managed to build a small smile and said, "But who knows more about alone time than you, Jesse?" She had locked the house before she left. She was sure of that. The front door was still locked when she got back from the gull. She heard a noise upstairs as soon as she walked in.
"They must have seen you leave," Jesse said.
"Then I was like one of those silly girls in the horror movies, actually asking if someone was here," she said. "The next thing I remember is someone coming from my right out of the den and punching me in the face." He thought she might cry, but she didn't. "No one has punched me in my face my whole life," she said.
"So there was more than one of them."
"I'm sure I heard somebody upstairs," she said. "But if there was somebody up there, I didn't see him. I wish I could tell you more. I'm sorry."
"Stop apologizing, Kate," Jesse said. "Do you feel as if you lost consciousness?"
"I don't think so," she said. "The next thing I remember is one of them pressing my face to the floor and asking me if he'd left it with me." She ran a hand through her hair.
"Left what, Jesse?"
"Somebody's looking for something that might interfere with the sale of the land," Jesse said. "They've searched the house of Ben Gage from Save Our Beach, the kid that just got shot over in Marshport. Somebody searched Neil's house the other night. A couple guys. I knew someone was in there because I'd left a sensor the last time I'd been there. They ended up shooting at me before I lost them on the beach."
"Why would they think Neil would tell me," she said, "or leave something that important with me?" Do you even know exactly what it is?
Just something of value to one of the people involved in this deal, Jesse said. Or maybe all of them.
But what?
Working on it, he said.
On a mission, you mean?
Idle hands, Jesse said. He asked again if he could drive her to urgent care. She told him no again. Jesse said that she was as stubborn as Molly Crane, likely slugged by the same guys. Kate said she'd take that as a compliment. She said she'd take that drink now, scotch. Jesse asked where she kept it. She said on the kitchen counter, in a corner underneath the cupboards. Jesse went into the kitchen and saw it was as much of a mess as the living room. There were two bottles. One was red wine. The other was Chivas Regal. He picked it up and saw that it was mostly full. Always a happy moment for him in his drinking days, seeing the amber liquid nearly all the way to the top, feeling the weight of the bottle. He stared at it a moment longer, then found a glass and uncapped the bottle and poured scotch into it. He couldn't remember the last time he'd had his hand around a bottle of scotch. He screwed the cap back on and made sure not to smell it. He already knew what it smelled like. He could teach a master class in what it smelled like, and what it tasted like, and felt like.
Jesse, Kate called from the living room, you find it okay?
Her voice snapped him out of it. He slid the bottle back into the corner, thinking that no bad guy he had ever encountered had ever been more dangerous to him than the glass in his hand. It had nearly cost him everything, including Kate once. But he'd made it through another day without pouring himself a drink. Or had almost made it. Day wasn't quite over. He went back to the living room and handed her the glass, and she drank some. The bruise on her face was darkening. He told her to stay where she was. She said she wasn't going anywhere. He went through the house then, room by room, downstairs and upstairs. When she walked in on them, they must just have been going through the upstairs rooms, because there were just a few drawers pulled out of her dresser, and they seemed to not have made it to her clothes closet. Jesse was sure they'd left no prints behind. If it was the same two guys, they hadn't left prints at either Ben Gage's house or Neil's either. But was it the same two guys? Or were there roving teams of idiots involved in this thing? Maybe Ed Barone had one of his own. And Lawton's goon had chased Ben Gage and Blair Richmond that time. When he came back downstairs, Kate had curled herself into a corner of the couch, feet underneath her. Most of the scotch was gone. "You're sure you didn't get any kind of look at them?" Jesse said. She shook her head. "If they're who I think they are," he said, "they work for Billy Singer." He was sitting next to her on the couch. He was sure he was imagining that he could smell the scotch. He grinned at her. "What I don't know right now," he said, "could fill up Fenway Park." He took out his phone. "Who are you calling?" she said. "The station," he said. "I want them to send a car over here and have it stay until morning. Do you want me to file a report?" "I don't have what they wanted," she said. "What would be the point?" She stared at Jesse now with what he thought had always been truly amazing eyes. Beautiful eyes. Beautiful woman. They suddenly seemed closer to each other than they actually were. "Why can't you stay?" she said finally. His throat felt thick suddenly. "Because I can't," he said. "Just as a friend," she said. "Neil was my friend," he said. "Mine too," she said. "He was mine longer," Jesse said. She was right there, her and the scotch, like old times. He held her eyes for a long time. Then he said, "You want me to help you clean up?" "I'll do it in the morning," she said. "You're sure you'll be all right?" he said. "Under the watchful eyes of the Paradise Police Department," Kate said. "Who wouldn't be?" "I meant being alone," he said. She smiled with her eyes one last time and said,
One of these days, I really might be as good at it as you are. When he got to the Explorer, the squad car with Peter Perkins in it having just arrived, he took big, deep breaths of the night ocean air. Then he got inside, started up the engine, and called Crow.